You only get two choices, three or four. I'm a four missionary journey pastor. All right. Okay, well, see, I've never really said anything about it, so I don't know how you know that I remember. Well, I mean, I guess I have mentioned it a couple times off and on, but actually what Paul did is he was imprisoned in Caesarea for 2 years, went to Rome, was released from Rome, and made his fourth missionary journey to Spain. We have no record of that missionary journey in Scripture, but he did make it. And it was from that journey that he was returning when he was arrested by Nero's henchmen in the fall of 66 at Miletus, and ultimately taken to Rome for where he was executed in 67 AD. So we'll pick up next week and begin the great missionary journeys of Paul. We'll try to wrap this up either tonight or next week and then move on from here. You'll notice that we have finished our exegesis down through verse 17. The divine discipline which comes next is divine discipline on Herod. Divine discipline on the persecutors. May I just call it divine justice, because then we have three parts. It works out beautifully. We have A, divine discipline on the troops. I guess what happened was that these troops were not real nice to Paul, or to Peter, because God made sure they got executed. Herod is going to execute these 16 men who were responsible for Peter. And then we're going to have the execution of Herod by God. God is going to execute Herod, Agrippa. And last but not least, we will have the introduction of the apostle to the Gentiles. And the exit of Peter. Peter will appear briefly and have one more little comment or two in Acts chapter 15. But other than that, the rest of the book is all Paul. And so we have come to the end of the life of Peter. I hope you enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. It's now over. As far as we're concerned, the only other things we have by Peter are the two books that he wrote close to the end of his life, 1st and 2nd Peter. I've already taught those some time ago. We have the tapes in there. If you haven't heard my 1st and 2nd Peter tapes, you might want to listen to those and find out something about how he treats the last section of the church age and how he predicts what we are about to run into. So the introduction of Paul and the exit of Peter are coming up next. Now, in verse 18, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what had become of Peter. And, of course, the reason being that Peter has vanished from the face of the earth, as far as the Roman soldiers know. He's gone. Nobody can find him. And when Herod had searched for him and had not found him, he examined the guards and ordered that they be led away to execution. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and was spending time there. And so this is, of course, Herod who went down to Caesarea. He gave up and got mad because he couldn't find Peter and went off to sulk. Actually, is what happened. And so that's essentially the operation. All right, now we need to spend just a moment or two and probably go through the concept of the Herods, of course. You remember there are a number of Herods in the family of Herod. We've gone through it. I gave you the little chart last week. We had Herod the Great. Began his rule in 37 B.C. and died in 4 A.D. Actually ruled for 41 years, probably the longest that anyone would ever rule in Judea for a number of years to come. He had a large family. Marked by the fact that he had five wives. Not six, but five. Yes, five wives. We'll knock one off there. Okay, the first one was named Doris. The second one was named Mariamne. The third one was named Cleopatra. So even Herod the Great had a Cleopatra, isn't that wonderful? And then Malchus the Samaritan. And last is Mariamne the Hasmonean. They married two Mariamnes, which is interesting all by itself, I suppose. He looks up and says, Mariamne, and two women say, yes, not yes, husband. That'd be kind of a little tough there, but anyway, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, okay? Out of Doris came generation number two, Antipater. Antipater never ruled in his, well, he ruled in his own right for a few days and then was exiled the same year. He ruled all of 2 months. So that's generation, this is the second generation, okay? Number two. This is the first generation. We'll try one more time, might make sure it, see if we can make sense out of it for you. And for me at the same time. Okay. So Antipater, of course, was the oldest of Herod the Great's sons. So when Herod the Great died, his son Antipater was given the rule. It lasted for a total of 2 months, and he was so evil that they got rid of him and exiled him. And he vanished into exile, never to appear again. There was a son by way of Mariamne the Boethusian. And he would have been, of course, Herod Philip I. And, of course, he was the out of this Mariamne came Salome. And Herod Philip I married Salome. You may remember dear old Salome. Because they had Salome the Second. Now, let's put her name down here, Herodias. Herodias. She married Herod Philip I, and together they had Salome. Cleopatra of Jerusalem had Herod Philip II. I'll try to keep these segregated here. Herod Philip II. Okay, and we'll put him the second in here. He was the tetrarch of Judea. He married Salome and died. Not Salome over here, this is Salome the Second. He married another Salome. We'll call her Salome the First. And he died about AD 34, so he ruled until 34 AD, which was a good 30-year rule. His father died in 4 AD. He lived and ruled for 30 years up in Caesarea Philippi. By the way, it might interest you to know that he was the only really good Herod out of the whole family. There were no other good Herods out of this crew. We'll put a star by him. We'll surround him with stars, okay? He's the only good one. And I have pictures. In fact, maybe I'll show some slides next Wednesday. I won't have slides for a while. I'll show you a picture of where he ruled and what it looks like today. It's called Banias today. And it is a beautiful, beautiful place. It's one of the headwaters of the Jordan River. And it's right up against the foothills of Mount Hermon. And a very beautiful place indeed, nestled underneath Nimrod Castle and underneath the summit of Mount Hermon. It's a very beautiful city. Well, it's for the first time, it's never been excavated. And this last September, an Israeli team has begun excavations in Caesarea Philippi, which is this particular city. And so there'll be, for the next few years at least, they'll be uncovering the city that Herod Philip II ruled over. There's nothing, absolutely nothing there today, except a bunch of dirt, a few trees here and there, and a modern park where Israelis go to picnic. And of course, you can put your feet in the water. The water is very, very cold. It comes right out of the springs right there at the foot of the mountain. And you stick your feet in, and on a hot day, it's wonderful. You just sit there and dribble your feet in the cold water there and just get cooled off. Try to keep just your feet in there. Other people tend to get more of them in. I'm not sure why, but anyway. Okay, so that's Cleopatra. Now, out of Cleopatra then comes Salome. Or comes Herod Philip II. He married a Salome the First. who is not the Salome who danced for the head of John the Baptist. That's Salome the second. She married Herod Philip the first. And you may remember that another Herod decided he wanted Herodias, and so he ordered Herod Philip to divorce his wife, and then he married his brother's wife. That's kind of a strange situation, but anyway, as it turned out, Herodias divorced her husband in order to marry his brother, okay? And that was how it all worked out. And it was after she divorced Herod Philip I and married her other husband that Salome did her dance and John the Baptist lost his head. Not for Salome, but because of Salome. All right, so now we have Malthus. Malthus the Samaritan, and I'll bring her down here so we have room for her two sons. She had two sons. Herod Archelaus. Now, you may remember, Herod Archelaus is mentioned in Scripture. Does anybody remember under what conditions? This is just, this is good exercise for you to stretch your memory, okay? Who was Herod Archelaus? He ruled until, he didn't rule very long either, but he ruled from AD 4 to AD 6. So he managed to go to 2 years. I need about 5 colors up here. I need a purple or something to mark all the important events here. But anyway, you can see here his ancestor back here. The guy who ruled before him was Doris's son, Antipater. And of course, it took him another 2 years to figure out what to do with him. Well, let's see. This is 82. He took over right after Antipater was exiled. He ruled for 4 years. He lasted 4 times as long as his half-brother did. And then he, too, was exiled in 6 A.D. So we have now these two half-brothers. One ruled for 2 months. One ruled for 4 years. And as you can see, this indicates a period of relative instability. Now, these two sons here at Antipas was made the Tetrarch. Okay, Herod Archelaus ruled in Judea, and Herod Antipas ruled in Galilee. He was called the Tetrarch of Galilee. Now, Tetrarch means they divided Judea into 4 pieces. A Tetrarch is 1/4. See, a Tetrarch is the arc of a fourth. Tetra is 4. An arc is leader, so he was the leader of 1/4. Herod the Great had the whole ball of wax. His son Herod Antipas only had 1/4 of the territory that his father had ruled over. Herod Philip had 1/4, and then of course these three all ruled over the same thing. These two did. These two both ruled over Judea. He ruled in Galilee. Herod Philip ruled up. Herod Philip II ruled up in the north in Caesarea Philippi. Okay, so he lived until 39 A.D. So he ruled for how many years? Who knows? At least, remember, Herod the Great died in 4 A.D. So when would his son have taken the throne? Probably in the north. What? Probably around 4 A.D. So if he ruled from 4 to 39, how many years did he rule? Jennifer Massey. Elizabeth Carnegie. We're doing takeaways in math now. Do you? 35 years, absolutely. Yeah, there we go. Okay. I put them on the spot in class, I make them answer. 35 years, okay. So they had to rule. He ruled 35 years in Galilee. Now, you have to remember, Galilee was a backwater. Nobody cared about Galilee, so everybody that was in Galilee, they just kind of forgot about Galilee. It was sort of an armpit of the universe up there. Nobody wanted anything to do with Galilee. They just, just kind of forgot about it. So if you were ruling out there, you could live pretty nicely. And, of course, Herod Antipas got along just fine out there. But he was a tyrant, and he was obnoxious, and he was cruel. Whereas Herod Philip II was not. He was a very enlightened and benevolent ruler. But he did rule for a long time, Antipas did. And he is actually the third, he's also mentioned in Scripture. So we have Archelaus mentioned because Archelaus was the king when Mary and Joseph came back from Egypt. They mentioned Archelaus, remember? Archelaus was ruling. Herod the Great was dead in 4 AD. And so Archelaus became the king, Herod Archelaus. And he ruled for 4 years, and it was during that 4 years that Mary and Joseph came back into Israel. And you remember, they were warned by an angel not to go back to where? Not to go back to Bethlehem. Why not? Because Bethlehem is a suburb of the palace of Herod. It's only a couple miles away. So in order to protect Jesus, the angel told Mary and Joseph to take Christ and move all the way back to Nazareth, up in Galilee. Why in Galilee? Because Antipas was up there, it was a backwater, and nobody would look for any potential messiahs up in Galilee. You may remember when Christ finally did start his public ministry, what was it that Andrew said? Can any good thing come out of Galilee? See, nowadays they say that about Oklahoma. Can any good thing come out of Oklahoma? They consider us a cultural and an educational backwater out here, see? They think we're still part of Indian Territory. The Northeast. So you have to convince them that that's not so. We have to show them that great things happen in Oklahoma or New Mexico. It's one of the reasons I love the Taos from Taos, New Mexico, with the Marshall McLeod. Yeah, that was it, McLeod. And they did make it seem a lot nicer. I mean, having a smart policeman from New Mexico did a little bit correct the idea that New Mexico was actually a northern part of Mexico. You think I'm kidding, don't you? I was in Boston last fall, remember? There are people there, college professors, who still think Mexico owns New Mexico. They just think it's a northern province. I'm serious. I'm not kidding. These people up in the Northeast, they've never been out of Boston and New York City up there. They don't know that this. They don't know anything about New Mexico. They think it's just. They think Albuquerque is part of Chihuahua State. Kind of dumb. I saw them. And of course, the common people are even less informed up there. Well, what do we have? We have Herod Agrippa, Herod Antipas, rather. He was the Tetrarch of Galilee. Now, the last one, and I'm going to have to bring her way down here. This is still the second generation, though, see? This is the fifth wife, and this is two sons that she has. She has two sons. And she has Alexander, who was murdered by Herod Archelaus, as far as I know, or by his brother, or by both. Nobody seems to know, really, who did it. Maybe by his mother. This is a deadly family to be a part of. They were both killed in 6 AD, murdered. And this one was murdered. Now you say, what difference does that make? Well, Mariamne was the last surviving member of the royal family of the Hasmoneans. The Hasmoneans go back to who? Who do the Hasmoneans go back to? Probably his name is Hasmoneus, don't you reckon? Yeah, we can figure that much. Now, who was Hasmoneus? Well, he was the father, or the grandfather, actually, of a very famous person known as Matthias Maccabee. Actually, his name wasn't Maccabee until later. And they named him Maccabee after his son, actually, because his name was just Matthias, and his son's name was Judas. And Judas became known as Judas the Hammer, Judas Maccabeus, and he had four brothers, John, Thaddeus, Simon, and Jonathan. And these five men, with their father, led the great movement of Israelites that led to the second golden age of Israel in about 160 to 6 B.C. to 60 B.C. The Hasmoneans were the deliverers. They were kind of like the Revolutionary Army of America. Or the war against Britain. Well, from 160 to 60 B.C., the Asmoneans won a great golden age, a second golden age for Israel. They had freedom. They were victorious in battle. They had marvelous military operations. They were able to win against the Seleucids and against the Ptolemies. And so they had 100 years of great freedom and prosperity. That's called the Second Golden Age of Israel. And these Hasmoneans under Mattathias and his five sons ultimately gave rise to, they usurped the high priesthood. With their fourth and fifth sons, Jonathan and Simon, they usurped the high priesthood, and they took it over from the Zadokites, whom they kicked out and exiled to Egypt. So all of the Zadokite Levites were forced into hiding in Egypt, and so Jonathan and Simon and their descendants became the high priests of Israel. This is called the Hasmonean priesthood. Now, in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, you may remember that there were priests. Remember the high priest was named Caiaphas, and his son-in-law was named Annas? Why? Caiaphas and Annas were members or descendants of the family of the Hasmoneans. And Mariamne was the last female member who was available to marry a king and thus lend the credence of the Jewish line of the Maccabees and the Hasmoneans to the line of the Edomites that Herod represented. So, the result is that out of this came two sons. Mariamne, of course, was murdered by her husband. Her husband had her executed because he didn't trust her. Every time he went to Egypt, she was supposed to commit suicide, and she never would do it. She was a terrible wife. Herod went down three times thinking that his kingdom was going to be taken away from him. And he said, if I don't come back within 30 days, then you take poison and commit suicide. And he came back the first time, and she hadn't committed suicide. Herod's uncle had convinced her not to. So he ordered his uncle to commit suicide instead. Since his wife hadn't committed suicide, he ordered his uncle to, and his uncle committed suicide. Next time, his cousin talked her into not committing suicide, and when he got back, he made him commit suicide. And finally, the third time, he just executed her since she didn't commit suicide. Meanwhile, of course, he'd been convinced that she was conspiring against him with his other children and her children, and so he killed her. And then later, her two sons had made it out of the picture, and they lived two more years until Archelaus got a hold of them, and then he killed them too. So that was the end of the Mariamne Hasmonean part of the line. That was the end of the line that could have had any legitimate claim on the Israeli throne that ended with the death of Mariamne and her two sons, Alexander and Aristobulus. And this is why our Lord Jesus Christ wasn't even 10 years old yet, 10 or 11. He was about 10 or 11 at this time. This is just about the time he went to the temple with his parents from Nazareth. These two were murdered the same 2 years before Christ went to Jerusalem with his parents. So Antipas was still ruling up in Galilee, and of course we have to find somebody else to rule a little later. Now, fortunately or unfortunately, as the case may be, Aristobulus, before he died, was able to get married. And he married a lady by the name of Berenice. And through her, he was able to have a child before he died. And the child that he had was named Herod Agrippa I. Third generation now, okay? Here we are. We finished the second generation. Everybody clear on the second generation? We have Doris, first wife. Antipater is her son. He ruled for 2 months and was exiled. Second wife, Mariamne the Boethusian. She's the daughter of a man by the name of Simon who doesn't have any particular importance in history that I know of. She had a son named Herod Philip I who married Herodias. And, of course, Herodias and Herod Philip I had a daughter named Salome II. Now, Herod Philip I forced Herod Philip II to divorce his wife and give her to him. And you may remember John the Baptist being put in jail. It was Herod Philip I who did that to him. Okay. And then, of course, Herod Philip I, as far as we know, was never really full ruler of anything. He was just kind of the brother. He did finally rule up in the north country and was not too bad a ruler. Okay, so Alexander, the third generation is Herod Antipas, or Herod Agrippa, rather. This is the Herod that we have in our passage that we're studying now. So this is the Herod that we're about to see die in the next five verses. He's going to die in the next five verses. We're going to read about God's part in his death. This is the only Herod that God took a personal part in his death. In other words, God came down and really fixed old Herod Agrippa. He really fixed him. He died in agony. He married a lady by the name of Cypros, C-Y-P-I-O-S, and he died in 44 A.D. So what does that tell us? When was Peter thrown in jail? Come on, are you? This is very simple mathematics. Herod Agrippa threw him in jail. Herod Agrippa was going to execute him. Shortly after Peter gets out, Herod Agrippa is going to die a horrible, an awful death. So the year has to be what? 44 A.D. If Herod Agrippa died in 44 A.D., then that's when Peter was thrown in jail. So it is now some 11 years after the resurrection and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. What has been going on in Jerusalem for 11 years? Especially since the first year, 8,000 people were saved. At least 8,000, probably more like 25,000. So there have been, 11 years ago, there were 25,000 believers in Jerusalem. I don't think there's any question that in that 11 years, that number has not grown significantly in Jerusalem. Okay? So Herod Agrippa the first son. Now may I point out that wife number one, wife number two, wife number three, and wife number four, their line is done. Okay? Their line ends with the second generation. So they fade out with the green, and we're left with only one line, the line of the Hasmonean wife, Mariamne. Isn't that interesting that even though the Hasmoneans were nasty, evil, cruel people, God preserved out of all those five women, he only preserved one wife and her seed and lineage, Mariamne, the Hasmonean. Why? This is called blessing by association. She's descended from who? Who is her ancestor? Who? The Maccabees, but who is the ancestor of the Maccabees? Asmoneus, and who is his great ancestor? 2,000 years before him? Trying to get you to think historically now. Why are the Jews blessed? Ah, there we go. You see, they're descendants of Abraham. None of these other ladies are. Doris isn't. She's a Greek. Mariam is a Boethusian. Cleopatra is from Jerusalem, but she's a Hellenistic. She's a Greek. Malthus is a Samaritan. She's a hybrid, half Jew, half Gentile. Maybe all Gentile by now. Nobody knows. Mixture. Heinz 57 variety. She doesn't know what kind of a genetic makeup or history she has. Only Mariamne has a Jewish lineage that she can go all the way back to Abraham with, that she knows about. Now, that doesn't mean anything because they were all bad ladies. Okay? But none of them deserved anything. So it's just pure grace that God kept Mariamne's line going because he had some more work to do with them. One, because she was such a great believer. But it does show you that sometimes just the fact that you're associated with great believers can be a real blessing to your life and to the life of your descendants, your family. So it's a good idea to stay a super grace believer as long as possible. Your children, even your grandchildren and great-grandchildren may benefit from the fact that you're a super grace believer. Try not to prove it too soon. Try to hang on a little while. Pass the blessing on to everybody. Now, Herod Agrippa is the first of three sons that lived by Mariamne. And it is through Herod Agrippa that we get the fourth generation. And we get this generation. These are the people we'll be seeing in Paul's life. We'll be seeing Drusilla and Bernice and Herod Agrippa II. And all those folks, Felix, all those will be coming up later. So this is the fourth generation. Now she had two other sons, or two other people. Yeah, well, she had a daughter named Herodias. Number two then is her daughter Herodias, and she is exiled in 39 A.D., never did have any real effect on anything. And then third, she had Herod the king of Chalcis, and he, we don't know much about him either. We just know that he was king of a little town, a little duchy called Chalcis, and he died in A.D. 48. And that was the end of that line. So 1, 2, and 3. Herod Agrippa, he dies in 44 A.D. His brother dies in 48. His sister was exiled in 39. And so we're ready now for the fourth generation. And remember the four-generation family curse that we studied under suffering? This family typifies it perfectly. Only one person was positive out of all these descendants. That was Herod Philip I. And, yeah, I had those backwards. It looks like it was Philip II that was Tetrarch of Judea. And it was Herod Philip I who was king up in the north of Caesarea Philippi. I never can keep one and two apart. They're named the same thing, Herod Philip I and Herod Philip II. And it's hard for me to keep them straight. Okay, so Drusilla, first daughter. Drusilla married two husbands, actually. She married a guy by the name of Azizus, and then after she got rid of him by whatever means, she married Felix. And Felix was made procurator of Judea by the Romans. And so Paul is brought before Felix and Drusilla in Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea Maritima, not Caesarea Philippi, but Caesarea Maritima. And Felix and Drusilla are almost converted to Christianity through Paul. They came very close. Drusilla may have become a believer for all we know. It doesn't say that she didn't. I'm going to put a question mark. It's possible that she had positive enough volition to become a believer. There's a good possibility she was converted. Certainly Felix was close, but depending on the mood that you take this with, it's possible that Felix was close but didn't. It's possible that Drusilla did. We don't really know for sure. Drusilla died in 79 A.D. She was killed by the great volcanic eruption in Vesuvius, by Mount Vesuvius. She died in the city of Pompeii, right? Remember the city of Pompeii? It was buried by the great volcanic eruption. In fact, that's one of the most complete Roman cities you can see today. I thought it was pretty complete, but I'll have to admit I've never seen anything to rival the city of Jerash in Jordan. That was probably the most impressive place I've ever seen outside this country. It's a complete Roman city. It's still there just like it was 2,000 years ago. You can see all the streets are there, the great forum, the great round amphitheater, and all the columns are still there, and the great temple of Athena is still there, and three or four theaters are still there, and they're still complete. You can walk through the vomitoria and sit in the theater, and still, in fact, they still have, they have what they call a Jerash festival every year, and they bring in ballet troupes and singers and musicians and artists and ballet troupes and all kinds of cultural artists, and they have a big festival for 2 weeks. And they have them from all the world, from Russia, from America, Australia, Europe, anywhere you can think of, they have groups there, and they have a constant performance. They call it the Jerash Festival, and they have it every year. And people come from all over the world to see it because it's staged right in the city of Jerash in the old Roman amphitheaters and theaters, just like it was back in Rome. It's a very strange feeling to sit there and hear. And if you ever, we of course didn't get to see a performance in it, but when we were in Israel, we got to hear a South African group sing in one of those amphitheaters. It's just like you're standing right in front of them. We were clear across the theater from them, but the acoustics are so good that you could hear every word that they were saying, and they were completely across the theater from us on the other side. That's how good the acoustics are. Every word you could hear. So it's a fantastic thing, and if I ever took a group to Jordan, I'd want to go in August, or July rather, during the Jerash Festival, and get a little culture while you're there. That's an experience that you'll never have anywhere else. There are no other cities in the world that you can see a modern performance in a 2,000-year-old theater that I know of. It's quite fascinating. There is a theater in Amman, and you can, but it's surrounded by a modern city. It's not like Jerash. Jerash is the whole city spread out, and the main Cardia is completely there. It has the side streets off of it, and still has the ruts, the rock, the great stone flooring for the street with the chariot tracks in it to keep so the horses can keep their footing when they go down the stone road. It's very impressive. Well, anyway, Drusilla died in Pompeii in 79 AD when Mount Vesuvius erupted. Her sister was named Bernice. And Bernice was even more positive than Drusilla was, and it's my guess that it was probably, if any of these three did become a Christian, my guess is that Bernice probably did. I couldn't prove it, of course, but if you read the passage, I think you'll agree that these two ladies were very positive. So was her husband, Drusilla's husband, but I don't know that he ever made the choice to believe in Christ. But he was very positive to Paul, and he said, if you hadn't appealed to Caesar, we could have let you go. You've done nothing worthy of death. So that was his conclusion. And then, of course, because Paul had appealed to Caesar, he had to be sent on to Rome. And then last but not least, Herod Agrippa II. He ruled after his uncle in Calchas. Notice it was his brother up there, Herod Agrippa the First, or Herod King of Calchas, who was the third son, the third child of Aristobulus. Herod King of Calchas was the first king. He died in AD 48. He was king of Calchas. This Herod was Herod Agrippa the Second. Was king of Calchas from 53 to 70 AD, and he lived to 100 AD and died in exactly the same year, as far as we can tell, that John died. He and John died in exactly the same year, 100 AD. John in Ephesus, Herod Agrippa II in Calchas, and with these two men died all the family ties that go back to the great event of the New Testament Gospel of Jesus Christ. I hope you enjoyed that. I thought it was kind of a nice little thumbnail sketch, even if I did have to stress things a little here and there. In that little box to the left, there are the mentions of them and where they're mentioned in Scripture. Let's just run through the Scriptures, and I'll give you the... We've got about 8 minutes. I think we can do that if we're quick. Depends on how fast you can flip pages. Let's start in Matthew 2. Herod the King. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the King. Matthew 2:1. Now this is Herod the Great. Generation number one, Herod the Great. He is the one who greeted the wise men, the Magi from Persia. And in the days of Herod the King, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem and said, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? Now talking to Herod the Great, who had to fight like a cat to get his kingdom, and who had to wrest it from the hands of all of the rather recalcitrant Jews, and who almost got killed twice while he was trying to get his throne consolidated, telling him that somebody's been born who's going to challenge him for the kingship of Judea is not the way to his heart. In fact, he has built three great places, the two Herodians and Masada. He built those places along with the northern Masada and Gamla. He built those places and fortified them because he was so terrified somebody was going to challenge his rule that he wanted a place where he could retreat to and nobody could touch him. He could hold out in Fortress Herod forever if necessary. So he was mad. This was not a good man to tell. Oh, we can't see the new king who's just been born. Just take your place, Herod. Sorry. You're on your way out, fella. Now, you can understand why he just was not real pleased about this, but of course, murdering children is not really the way to handle this. I mean, you know, that's really not the best way to do it. But he decided that this was such a serious challenge, and he had such respect for these men's ability to foretell the future. He was a mystic. One of my students was telling me today that that they're Gemini, and they're able to communicate telepathically with other Geminis. Did you know that? I didn't know Geminis could do that. Boy, I think that's great. I'm not a Gemini. Any other Geminis in here? I'm a Virgo. I am. I think my wife's a Virgo too, if I remember right. Maybe she's a day off. I can't remember where the day is. It drops in there. So anyway, as you know, of course, I'm not real big on astrology. I don't really, even if Nancy Reagan does like it. Well, again, of course, he sends in and he kills all the children 2 years old and younger. And so God warns Mary and Joseph, and they take the child and go down into Egypt. Now, Luke 1:5 has a brief mention of Herod the Great. And that says, in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, there was a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. That tells us that John the Baptist was conceived during the reign of Herod the Great. That ties us down to one generation at least. All right, then the next mention is in Acts 12, and we have Herod Agrippa the First. Herod Agrippa the First, who is the grandson of Herod the Great. Well, now wait a minute, we've missed one. Yeah, there we go. I'm sorry. Herod Archelaus down there, Matthew 2:22. Let's go back to Matthew. Sorry about that, folks. I knew there was another one there before we got to the grandson. Matthew 2:22. And that says, but when he heard that Archelaus, verse 21, Joseph, and now verse 19, when Herod the Great was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, arise, take the child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. Now, what year did that occur in? What year did Herod die? The Great. 4 A.D. When was Christ born? Well, he was 0 or 4 B.C. or 3 B.C. or somewhere in there, so Christ could not be more than 5 or 4 or 5, maybe 6, probably at the most. Possibly the oldest would be 8. Okay, so at any rate, he's been some time in Egypt, maybe 2 or 3, 4, up to 8 years they may have spent. Probably not more than 7, I would guess. But those are years about which the Bible doesn't tell us anything, does it? So he arose and took the child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus, who's Archelaus? Archelaus is Herod Archelaus, the son of Herod the Great, by Malchus the Samaritan. Okay? And he thinks, Joseph does, that it's not safe to live around Jerusalem with Herod Archelaus ruling. Now Herod Archelaus was, when was he kicked out of Judea? In 6 A.D. So somewhere between 2 and 6 A.D., Christ came back to Israel with his mother and father. And so somewhere in that 4-year window, they came back from Egypt. Between 2 A.D. and 6 A.D., Christ, Mary, and Joseph came back into Israel from the Delta area. Okay? And so being warned by God, let's see, Archelaus was reigning over Judea in the place of his father Herod. He was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he departed for the regions of Galilee and came and resided in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled, he shall be called a Nazarene. All right, now the next one, let's see, I'm not sure why I put them in this order. I'll have to redo this. At any rate, that's Herod Archelaus. Now you get Agrippa the First, which is ours. That's third generation. Herod Agrippa the Second, that's the fourth generation. And then Herod Philip the First is second generation again. Philip the Second is second generation. Archelaus is second generation. Antipas the Tetrarch is also second generation. Salome is third generation. And Herodias is one of the Salome and Herodias are women that are associated with various of these Herods. Bernice is fourth generation, great-great-granddaughter of Herod the Great, and Drusilla is her sister. So that's all the generations and all the folks. Okay, well, as you can do the same thing here, but you can see this. Herod the King is first generation, Agrippa the First, Agrippa the Second, are the second, the third and fourth generations. Philip the First, Philip the Second, Archelaus, Antipas are all second generation who ended their lines. And then you come back to Salome and Herodias, Bernice and Drusilla, who are the famous women in the Herod family. Okay, any questions about all this good stuff before we close it off for tonight? All right, then we're finished. We'll quit at this point. Next week we'll do the doctrine, we'll do the death of the soldiers and the death of Herod Agrippa, and look at the events a little more carefully in the end of this section of the book of Acts. Shall we pray? Father, we are grateful tonight again for the opportunity to come together and to study your word. We appreciate the fact that power and wealth do not necessarily produce good people. And many times it is the suffering and the testing of life that produce great character, and not certainly the wealth and power that these men exercised along with their families in the ancient world. People whose names have been all but forgotten except for the word Herod, and yet these were men who built great edifices, huge building projects that have lasted for 2,000 years, many of them. And yet these men are not nearly as well known or as widely known as that little baby that the first of them tried to execute, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we recognize that it is not by power and not by might, but by means of the transmission of the truth through the Holy Spirit that great things are accomplished in the human race. Teach us that we can have the same kind of things and do the same kind of things through that same Holy Spirit today who dwells in each of us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.